The Cult Worthy Podcast. Join me, Antonio Palacios, each week as I guide you through a never-ending sea of obscure cinema and cult-worthy gems that deserve a rediscovery. Find me on all listening platforms and at thecultworthy.com. The Cult Worthy Podcast. Join us.
And now, our feature presentation.
Hey, folks, it's Squid from Tattoo Squid Podcast. How's it going? Having a wonderful weekend. Well, I am. You know, we did some stuff. You know, we do what we had to do. So what we are going to talk about today, there's a mixture. Not a mixture. It's like three things, Bob, you know, basically. So, anime, which I talked about last week, you know, Trigun, and all that. I know the last episode you're listening to, probably going, oh my God, this is so boring. You just keep talking. And I am trying to get more guests on, so make them a little bit more happening and going, yes. But I'm doing another here with anime, and it's called Parasites. But there's two different things about it. There's Parasites, like the anime cartoon, and there's Parasites the Gray, which I think more than likely the Gray is like an organization. Parasites is a great anime cartoon. I know a lot of people that deal with anime, and they deep dive into everything about the anime of the certain things, and they know everything about the character, they know what it were, who was born, what's the name of this, what's the name of that, you know, just talk to Damien Haas, you know, from Smosh. He's the expert on anything and everything that is anime. Me, I talk about what I like. I don't really get too much, and even name-wise, I don't really know the name-wise, but I like how the anime goes, you know, and when you watch it, you know, the first time, you're like, holy shit, there's a lot of sexual content, and they're like, yeah, but then there is, you know, kids start getting into this, I'm like, and hopefully that sexual content's not going to go and see the kids, but I know my nephews like anime, certain ones, more that it's on the cartoon, like, network dev, or if it's on the regular channels. But this one is called, like I said, Parasite. So I'm going to read you a little passage from the book, which is this, that you can get in any Barnes & Noble. And as you can see, you know, Japanese anime, and, you know, he has his hand is pretty much alive. So it's pretty much like a silent invasion. But when I read this, you'll kind of understand. If you're not into, you know, the whole thing, you'll understand what I'm saying. So it's called a silent invasion. They arrive in silence and darkness. They descend from the skies. They have a hunger for human flesh. Well, they do and they don't. But, yeah, we'll get into that. They are everywhere. They are parasites, alien creatures who, to survive, must invade and take control of a human host. Once they have infected their victims, they can assume any deadly form they choose. Monsters with giant teeth, winged demons, creatures with blades for hands. So, well, let me just finish this open. I'll explain. But most have chosen to cancel their lethal purpose behind ordinary human faces. So no one knows their secret, except an ordinary high school student. Shinichi is battling for control of his own body against an alien parasite, but he can find a way to warn humanity of the horrors to come. Now, see where they were talking about, you know, they take different forms and all that. So they take over the form. Basically, what they do is they cut off the head of the host, and then they take over the host, which it is barbaric. You know, it's not like, oh, hey, I want to take over your body. Oh, go right ahead. No, I didn't do it that way. It's like, nope. You know, and that was it. And they insert themselves through the neck and become part of that body. Where they get into some kind of trouble or some action evolves. You know, they can go and have hands, you know, for blades. You know, there could be a huge stomach, you know, and then the stomach could be a huge mouth with teeth. They have wings, maybe they could just fly around, and but then they, you know, they whip around kind of like a squid, know. But there is a thing on Netflix called Parasite the Gray, which I think is more after the fact of this said book. So basically, it's an organization. They find out that the aliens have invaded. They don't know what they look like because honestly, they do take a form of humans. They don't know who's who and what. But one of them wants to help and not try to take over, blah, 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 you know. And it's really interesting. I saw it last night. I pretty much saw like a whole season in one day, which is uncanny because sometimes I watch like, you know, five, maybe six, and then the last two or something I'll watch like a week after. But overall, I love it. It's, you know, but then they show Shimichi showing up, but I'm not going to give it away because you're going to watch it. If you're a If, you know, like I said, if you're an anime fan, you know, like Dragon Ball Z or One Piece, because One Piece they have a live action, which is really good. I gotta go back into that. It's really awesome. On a good note, you know, you can watch that and have a good old time, and you'd be like, wow, Squid was right. Yeah, this is pretty decent. You know, because I don't think my girlfriend's gonna watch it, because it does tend to get a little gory and a little bit out there. So she probably like, nah, not really. I mean, she likes we call it, she liked the Fallout. So Fallout was really good, but it has its moments. She was like, I don't know, but then she got into it. But on a fun note, like I said. This I think this coming Wednesday, I believe. I think it's gonna be May 1st. We are gonna go see the Long Island Ducks. It's been a while since I've seen a Ducks game, and I think it's been a while since my girlfriend's seen a Ducks game. My sister, thank you. She got tickets. So we're gonna go as a group. Yeah, which is good. Yeah, we go down there. Check it out, you know, maybe get a thing. I really want to go and see like my very first hockey game. Because, you know, I never really got into hockey. I mean, you know, but hold on. Let me just write this down so I can, you know. What are we talking about? Parasites? Okay, we talked about parasites. And, you know, Ducks game. But then, hockey. All right. So now, I don't know who's a fan of who, and you know, because me, I was like, I was raised up to a, you know, pretty much watching baseball. You know, Yankee fan, and you know, or alter ego villains. You know, would be the Mets. You know. So the Subway Series and everything else. You know, that's why I had it. And everybody, you know, when they watch football, everybody from New York gravitates towards the Jets, the Giants. You know, honestly, I never really got into the. God, I gotta get this all. Anyway, I You would figure I would go for the Jets and Giants, but I don't know. It's been very disappointing, you know. So I would go with the darker kind of thing because I'm a dark guy. You know, I like dark stuff. So I went with the Raiders, but you know, they never really have a good record, so it didn't really, you know, it didn't matter to me. I'm like, okay, win or lose, you know. I'm like, okay, cool. What's done is done. And I like the Saints, and the Saints won the Super Bowl like years back. But I want to get into hockey, and I've seen everybody else get into this hockey, and even at work, people are getting into the whole thing. So you would figure being, you know, there's a New York Islanders and then there's New York Rangers. Because my girlfriend, she likes the Rangers. And the reason why I never really got into hockey, because everybody that I either gone out with, or even my late wife, you know, she was not really a hockey fan. My brother-in-law is like two of, well, actually two, three, like three of them were hockey fans, but I never really sat down and I seen hockey and I watched it a little bit. Didn't really know anything about it, but most of them were either fans of the Maple Leafs or the Jersey Devils, but none of New York. So I was like, okay, whatever. So now my girlfriend is a fan of hockey, and she never really liked the Islanders because of someone that she was going with liked the Islanders, and but she liked the Rangers, and yeah. So I'm like, hey, I'll go with what? You know, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm like, okay, you know, I'll go with Rangers. You know, but I really want to go and see like a hockey game. You know, my luck. I'll probably like. Be like that guy, like Keanu Reeves in that movie. I forget what the movie is with Marissa Tomei. So yeah, I remember names, you know, but this title I don't remember. I think I'm not gonna say it's True Love or something, but you know, Marissa Tomei. You know, finds a guy. She works at a diner, I think, and then basically. They hook up a little bit, not hook up, but you know, they go out, go to a hockey game. Hockey puck comes flying through the thing, and he catches it. You know, those things are fucking hard as hell. Might break a hand, but didn't. He was like, haha, here you go, you know. And she was astounded. So, my luck, he'll come and try to hit me in the head or some shit. I don't know. But that's what I want to do. I want to go and see that, but we are going to go see the Long Island Ducks. And, you know, sure as shit, we call it, you know, a little video thing pops up of the Long Island Ducks. You know, coincidence or is it the government? Well, I'm not going to get into that. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, so we're going to go see the Ducks. We're going to have some fun. Maybe get a souvenirs. I know I want to have some kind of food. Definitely going to get some kind of food. But we are going to do that this weekend. We pretty much just went shopping. And I found a shirt, actually, which I've been talking about getting MTV to come back and play videos. Now I got the MTV Music Television, you know, Music Worldwide. Yes, and if you see the black tape, that's a 3X. Sorry. So anybody want to donate a shirt, just send it my way. I'm a 3X. So yeah. So if MTV, if you're, I know you're not listening to this, but anybody that's from MTV or can have ties with MTV, tell them to bring back Headbangers Ball. You know, just bring it back. And play some heavy metal music videos late at night. You know, people can watch it late at night. And you know, we all have a grand old fucking time. So now let's get into some horror stories. Now, for me, I live in Long Island, and there is some horror stories, which, you know, you don't really see it, but there's certain ones that people, you know, like the one that everybody knows is Amityville Horror. All right. So if you lived underneath a rock or a house, Amityville Horror is a house that is supposedly haunted or taken over by the somewhat demon, devil, what have you. And they made a movie about it, and then the house is on Long Island. It's always been a tourist attraction, but anybody that lives there, to this day, was like, "Oh my God, here they come again. What are we gonna do?" They moved, so I think they moved the house to a different location, which I don't even know. I know there's different places, but there is a here we have Long Island Haunts, 13 creepiest haunted places on Long Island, and there is that number, which is pretty much a no-no number. 13, Friday the 13th, the 13th ghost of Scooby-Doo. Sorry, folks, if you see me going like this and if I'm not speaking, then I'm writing something. So I'm not trying to think of something. I'm just trying to write it down here so that way I can put it for the episode art. So we got the Scooby-Doo 13 ghosts. Scooby-Doo. And then people that are watching the video, because when you're listening to it, okay, fine, you're listening. I'll still talk away. But then when you're looking at the video, if I'm turning, I'm like, I'm here. It's just, it is what it is. So Long Island Haunts, 13 creepiest haunted places on Long Island. Some of these I probably know. One or two of them I do know, and I've been to. Couple other ones, not really. So I'm gonna learn some shit that you're gonna learn some shit. So, all right, here we go. So, Mount Misery, number one. I should start from the bottom up, but you know what? We'll do that. We'll start from the bottom up. Make it easier. Here we go. Right. So, Southampton Campus Windmill, Stony Brook University. Now, Stony Brook is on Long Island, more to the east. I live in Riverhead, so it's kind of west from me because I'm a little bit more east than that. So, built in 1712, the gray shingled three-story windmill in or at Stony Brook University's Southampton campus stands as one of the Long Island's oldest, relocated in 1890 from Southampton town, where it served as a landmark for seafaring ships. Sorry if you hear like a hiccup or a gasp, because I had pizza before and Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm not saying anything bad about Dunkin' Donuts. I love Dunkin' Donuts. But I'm like on that border of like I'm supposed to like cut out the sweet shit. But when it comes to Dunkin' Donuts, I can't help it. I gotta go on a fucking Dunkin' Donuts, So we had that, I had my three donuts, I had the cream filled, I had the Boston cream, and the apple spice or apple, whatever. It's an apple. What is your favorite? So if you're on YouTube and you're watching this, write down what is your favorite flavor. I'm been trying to see if Dunkin' Donuts can send me like some free shit, some new flavors that they got something going on. So Dunkin' Donuts representatives, talk to me. Come on, give me some flavors. Send it. I'll give you my email. I'll give you my address. Call me. I'll give you my number. We'll talk to my guy. I can talk to your guy. Well, anyway, so. But I had that pizza, so if you hear some kind of gas kind of thing, it's a little burping over there. So it's not being like that. Okay, let's continue. Where it served as seafaring ships and is to its present location as a part of the former Claflin estate. The windmill was also once a former cottage and housed such guests as playwright Tennessee Williams. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't really know who he is, but sounds country. I don't know. Who reportedly penned one of his plays. Oh, he's a play artist. Not sure. No, from the way it said. Plays during his lodging. According to campus lore, the owner's daughter had a playroom inside the thing. And one day she fell down the windmill's steep interior stairs, broke her neck, and died. The 8 or 9 year old girl is still there, says students, and her face can be seen peering through various windows. Students also report to the press the eerie feeling of being watched as they pass by. That is crazy. Because, you know, Southampton has like a great college area. You know, pretty much everywhere else, like Nassau Community College, but then they got a Southampton Community College. My late wife, she was at Southampton Community College. That's how I know that place. I visited there a couple of times. Never knew, and there's a big campus, so they have a do. So they do have a big site, and you know, I think they have an auditorium where, you know, when you see like the, you know, you go up there, you're looking like this, and you're like, but you don't go like this, but you're looking, and you look at the stars, and I don't know what the hell that was called, but that was like years ago when I seen it. But we go on. I digress. All right, Winfield Hall, Crescent Beach Road, Glen Cove. This is number 12. The former 62-room Italian residence, mansion estate of Frank Winfield Woolworth. Now, Woolworth, that was a good store. But, you know, we'll see if that's any coincides with this or not. Was allegedly a hotbed of occult activity, according to Haunted Places, the National Directory by Dennis William Hawk. And its owner died just 2 years after it was built in 1917 of infected teeth. Oh, well, everybody go to your dentist. I mean, I know I got to do that too. So, Wolver's daughter, Edna, committed suicide behind its ornate walls, and former students of Grace Downs Model and Air Career School, which had a home in the estate during the 1960s and early 1970s. Speak of her bedroom always being locked, yet the sound of moving furniture emanating from within. Well, that's just crazy that you're going to die from, like, you know, teeth or, you know, lack thereof, like, infected. But I think back in those days, 1917, they didn't have major doctor and major medicine the way we have it now. Yeah, so that's my thought on that one. This next one is kind of short. So it's number 11, the Fire Island Lighthouse in Fire Island. Basically, it says the original lighthouse, standing 74 feet tall, was constructed of stone in 1826 and served as a beacon to distress whaling and merchant ships for about 30 years. It was replaced by the current lighthouse built in 1858, which is rumored to be haunted by a curator who committed suicide prior to his resurrection. So there's a little caption up here. Fire in the Sky, which that's a cool movie about alien abductions and whatnot, kind of like a X-Files kind of thing. Some believe the Fire Island Lighthouse, which has aided the navigation of countless seafaring vessels for more than 150 years, is also a beacon for wayward spirits, which I, you know, you do. I'm not saying you do see it. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been to Fire Island Lighthouse. But there's a lot of parties going on over there, so it could be, you could see something. I don't know. Alrighty, we get to, okay. Country House Restaurant, Route 25A, Stony Brook. You know, I think I might have been here. Because I like the restaurants over in East, and you know, I've been to, like, the Stony Brook part. besides its delicious food and romantic atmosphere, the Country House Restaurant serves patrons and visitors a smorgasbord of history. Smorgasbord. And that's a lot of food, too, and a lot of history. Originally built as a farmhouse in 1710, the place was purchased by Thomas Hadaway, a prominent English American actor and comedian in 1838, according to Stony Brook by the Free Village Historical Society, who was voted for throwing parties, was noted for throwing parties involving the occult. Many seances were conducted here, and those in attendance including renowned Long Island artist William Sidney Mount, in his notebooks and diary entries, believed he was able to communicate with the 17th century Dutch master Rembrandt, who gave him advice through letters and influenced his work, according to the Haunted Visions, Spiritualism and American Art by Charles Colbert, or Colbert, yeah. It could be Colbert or Colbert, however you pronounce it. The country house is haunted by the spirit of a woman named Annette Williamson, who is believed to have been murdered near a fireplace in one of the restaurants. Excuse me, see, there goes that burp. I told you people, you're going to get warned. Fireplace in one of the restaurants in many rooms during the Revolutionary War. Its present owner, Bob Williamson, tells ghosts of. Bless you! That was my girlfriend. Had to bless her. She sneezed. Tells ghosts of Long Island author Carrie Ann Flanagan Broski and Long Island paranormal researcher Joe Giaquinto, on a segment of their blog talk show, The Carrie and Joe Show. Williamson says he has personally witnessed Annette's full apparition, that her spirit regularly blows out light bulbs and causes electricity flashes, and other spirits dwell the premise as well. The home sweet home, there's an all caption above. Home sweet home, Stony Brook's country restaurant, is said to be the resident of several spirits, including Annette Williamson, who is believed to have been murdered in one of the many rooms, as we've been told, or I've been telling you. And again, here's, well, I mean, I should have done it from the beginning down, but this is a little bit. Right. Number nine, Reed Ice Cream Grounds. Yeah, so Reed Ice Cream Grounds, Atlantic Avenue, Blue Point. Never been to like Blue Point. Gone through there, never really stopped to look around. In 1966, the lifeless body of a murdered 20-year-old go-go dancer, part-time bank teller, was discovered here in a sump. Her hands and feet bound, her throat slashed. Legend says she never left. So basically, there is a go-go dancer and a bank teller, half bank teller, half go-go dancer, roaming the sump of the area of Blue Point. And if you know Blue Point, there's a lot of them. But not to say I've been there, but I've heard stories. Anyway, number eight, the Normandy Inn, the Smithtown and Lakeland Avenue, Bohemia. Now, I work in this area, well, not an area, but I work close to Lakeland Avenue, somewhere in Bohemia. So this is going to be interesting to read. Originally built as a residence for the Czech Baron in 1920, according to a 2008 Long Island Business News article, it became a speakeasy during Prohibition and the Hotel Chateau La Bohemia. See, Bohemia. Before its last incarnation as a restaurant, the Gothic style structure of the corner of Smithtown and Lakeland has been boarded up since 2004 and is currently once again up for sale. Normandy Inn is rumored to be haunted by a woman named Maria, who was allegedly strangled to death in the upstairs back bedroom and heard walking the hallways and knocking on the visitor's door when it was a hotel. There, have also been reports of cold spots and other apparitions. And most recent owner told LIBN the place previous owner informed him that long silent room service bells once began ringing without explanation, and footprints once appeared on a just shampooed rug in a locked bedroom. So you got footprints showing up on a very just recently clean rug in a locked bedroom area. And that is strange. Now I've been to this town on my journey, so delivering for a supermarket. It's the Wickham Farmhouse, Route 25, Kutchuk, which I think is in the big area and all that. So now I know what to look for when I do my deliveries. So if I do the deliveries, I know, you know, maybe I can find out where this place is. The farmhouse, built in 1704, is one of the oldest English-style houses in New York State. And on June 2nd, 1854, however, it became the site of a brutally vicious slaying. James and Francis Wickham, Wickham, along with a 14-year-old servant boy, were axed, murdered in their bedroom by a 21-year-old Irish farmhand named Nicholas Benham, who, following an intense manhunt, according to the New York Times archives, was discovered hiding in the nearby woods, put on trial, hung and buried in an unmarked grave. Descendants witnessed a ghost standing over their bed, 1988, according to Haunted Places, the National Directory of Dennis Hawk, and sealed off the bedroom. Well, yeah, I would too, you know, if somebody's like lurking over your door or over your bed. And I'm definitely going to see, I think I might know where this place is at. I think I passed there, like, because there's like a way, if you had to get to the place, you can cut through the certain thing, and I think that's where it is, at 25. So, again, I'm not really good with directions. If it had the GPS, it tells me where to go, and I go where it says. Alrighty, number six. We're at number six, folks. Morgan Hall, Route 107, Glen Cove, built in 1910, the former estate of financial tycoon J.P. Morgan, who is haunted by the ghost of his young daughter Alice, who succumbed to typhoid fever in the mansion. According to Haunted Places, Natural Directory of the Hawk, the place was utilized by the Russian embassy for years afterward before turning into a Catholic school. And, you know, that is some shit, though, folks. You know, it's like, turns into a Catholic school, but was haunted before, you know, by the daughter. And, you know, that had typhoid fever. And now it's a Catholic school. The symbolism, I tell you, yeah. I don't know what symbolism is supposed to mean, but it sounds fucking cool. Before turning to Catholic school and convent in the 1960s, Alice's spirit, the book contends, has appeared wearing a long black dress and can be heard walking in the attic and corridors. So whatever you do, folks, do not go to the attic, as they always say. And if you're going around the corridors, do it when it's daytime. We're going to get to number five. I was reading this to my girlfriend before, and I was kind of curious because Katie's, I think it sounds like a bar. And by looking at this, like skimmed it a little bit, it kind of does sound like. Take a stroll down West Main Street in Smithtown. Stop in at Katie's. Oh, I think I know where this is. And say hi to the bartender, Charlie Klein. Not Kevin Klein. Charlie Klein, who is about 115 years old. I don't think he's there anymore. I don't know. Give or take a few years, he may be missing a limb or two. He might knock a few glasses off the shelves. For years, staff and patrons at the Solga Bar, which has been featured on A&E's Paranormal State, have reported strange occurrences from swinging doors to apparitions. The property has a long history. hotel burned down in 1909 on this spot, reportedly killing a victim in the basement. Other tales claim a 16th century murderer haunts its corridors, but the most sociable ghost is Charlie, believed to be a bootlegger and bartender during the 1920s Prohibition era, who lived across the street from Katie's and took his own life. So it's a local thing, but that is some crazy, especially, you know, again, if you're going around corridors, maybe until it's sunny out, you know, don't go in the dark, you know, especially if you're gonna be drinking downstairs or something. You know, here's this 155-year-old with no limbs, you know, might goose you on the way up. I don't know. I don't want to get goosed. You know, unless it was the, you know, go-go dancer from the last one, then maybe, yeah. All right, number four, Rainham. Yeah, that Rainham Hall, West Main Street, Oyster Bay. Named after Rainham Hall in Norfolk, England, which is infamously haunted by the Brown Lady. Oh, I don't know, folks. It's going to get good. Captured in a 1936 photo, this mid-18th century Oyster Bay home of the Townsends was confiscated by the British during the Revolutionary War and served as headquarters for the Queen's Rangers, led by Lieutenant Colonel John Graves Simcoe. Simcoe fell in love with Sally Townsend, who overheard him and Bridge Major John Andre. See, Andre? Well, that's my real name, but you can call me Squid if you want to. Just don't call me late for dinner. A frequent guest discussed a plot involving Benedict Arnold, not the eggs, the person, then one of General George Washington's most trusted generals. Sally told her brother, who, as a member of the Culper spy ring, relayed to Washington, according to 1989's Haunted Houses USA by Dolores Riccio and Joan Bingham. Andre was hung for treason, but his spirit remains behind Contend Spirit of 76, Ghost Stories of American Revolution by Daniel Barefoot, along with the ghosts of Sally and Simcoe. And now we have Lake Ronkonkoma, and well, it shows the house. I mean, like I said, this is like backwards. So this, I think this is the house, the hall. You see the picture. Well, you don't see it, but I'm just telling you, there's a picture. You know, it looks like it's been taken like weeks before, but anyway, yeah, it looks creepy enough, and you know, it's one of those Lake Ronkonkoma, which is, you know, there's a thing about this, and I heard it, and there's stories about this. Long Island's largest freshwater lake, Lake Ronkonkoma, is awash from legends and stories from tales. It's infected with piranha, to the belief it is bottomless, has magical healing powers, or is connected to the Long Island Sound, Great South Bay, via underground channels. Lake Ronkonkoma is a kettle lake formed by a recession of glaciers and more than 60 feet deep. Historically, the lake was known as a highly sacred site of religious rituals for ancient Native American Indian tribes who would travel 100 miles or more in pilgrimages to undergo vision quests on its shores, according to Native New Yorkers. The legacy of the Algonquin people of New York by Evan Pritchard. And if you want to look at the related, just go to 5 paranormal oddities reported on Long Island. But we're just going to go into this. There was also various versions of stories about the lake's infamous Indian princess, the troubled spirit of the lake, as described in 1967. Heather Flower and Other Indian Stories of Long Island by Vern Dyson. One tale speaks of a Native American maiden sacrificed in its waters to appease a god. It always does that. Like you gotta appease God, you gotta sacrifice. You know, why don't you just give him fruits and fiber like everybody else? One tale speaks of a Native American sacrifice. Another tale tells of the Lady of the Lake, a Native American princess betrothed and in love with a member of her tribe who was murdered by a settler on the eve of their wedding. So she tied rocks to her ankles and committed suicide in the middle of the lake. Her body was never found, the legend goes, though she returns annually to bring another male to its watery depths to, in revenge for her love slain. The phantom princess can sometimes be seen, so it continues lemonading along the shore and luring future victims to their demise. At least one male drowns in Lake Ronkonkoma each year, the legend goes. Recanted in various forms throughout a literary of books, including Haunted New Yorker, New York Ghosts and Strange Phenomenon of the Empire State. So yeah, that it's I didn't know what it was, a healing powers, but and also the piranha, because I mean there is certain animals that do go in there, you know, ducks and all that. So if they were on the thing, and they would have gotten eaten up alive, and I don't know if humans would go in there. I don't know. I should have gone and tried to ask around there. But all right, now we're gonna get to this one right here. This is number two. All right, but it speaks saying tortured souls, Kings Park Psychiatric Center, at one time the home of more than 9,000 patients, was the site of countless lobotomies and shock treatment therapies. So that's Kings Park Psychiatric Center in Kings Park, in established in 1885 on more than 800 acres of land. Kings Park Psychiatric is a mini city of relentless anguished souls. Once home to more than 9,000 patients, excuse me, hold on, let me get another the refreshments. Okay. 9,000 patients housed in more than 150 buildings. The complex became a self-sufficient farm community. It had a library, farmhouse, morgue, and cemetery. Most of the compound has fallen into disrepair, but the screams, moans, banging, clanging, continues, eternal reminders of the pain suffered amid its walls. Electric shock therapy, insulin shock therapy, and prefrontal lobotomies were performed regularly at Kings Park Psychiatric. There's an extensive network of underground tunnels throughout the rounds connecting the buildings, the sites of countless inhuman atrocities of torture and abuse. Now, here's the thing, because wait, let me just go a little bit more. Okay, so now there's there now this one it, I don't want to say it hits home, but for 40 years or more, my mom and dad worked in Pilgrim State, which is the sister building, I would think, or the main building. Kings Park is like a continuation. So from what I understand, Pilgrim State had its buildings of people that work, try to restore buildings, you know, put the cement work in, anything that had to be done, you know, build stuff, you know, tables, chairs, you know, build up, patching up walls. You know, my dad did that. He was like the mason shop worker. My mom was like a nurse that would help out. The stories that she has told me throughout the thing, and she has seen the crazy and the crazy. But whether they have patients, I don't know if they had 9,000. I don't know. I gotta have my mom and dad that. But I remember that they were saying if they didn't have the room, they would send them over to Kings Park or vice versa. I think it was either Kings Park had too many, then they would send them down to Pilgrim State. So Pilgrim State also has the underground tunnels. My mom and my dad, my uncle, my aunt, my grandma, and countless other. And I had we call it my bartender friend that I known for like 40 years, and he told me he worked at Pilgrim State and he knows about the underground tunnels. And then there is a friend of mine that worked in Entman's, and he worked there, and I actually did want to work there at one point, because of the state hospital. And yeah, you can be able to get state pensions and all that, which that's what my mom and dad have. But it was good. But the stories, like I said, and I'll give you a couple examples. And I'm not saying this to be mean about it, because I know whoever has some mental states can't help it. So, but they go to these mental hospitals to help get help, and I'm not saying it, but it's just weird how the antics or the weird how they are in these kind of places. And my mom tells stories, and it's, she's seen, like I said, she's seen it all. So there was, like, she always brings cigarettes, and that's why I used to get my cigarettes when I used to smoke. She didn't have whatever she had left over, I would take. I'm like, all right. But there was a person that wanted a cigarette, and then they would refuse not to give her a cigarette, but then she'll go and squat down and piss on the floor to just get a cigarette. But that's not the craziest one. There is one or two that was a little bit more crazy. One being, there's two twins, and they would tend to, like, one would go on one side of the room, then one would go on the other side of the room, and come at each other like bulls, and just hit heads. They'll obviously fall to the ground, but they'll shake it off and then go right back and do it again, and then crack, and then that's, that. And then there was like over story, but I can't really remember what it is, but those are the ones that really stuck out with me. And the underground tunnels where they would send, they got the cadavers of dead people, and they go from one thing. So if it's like, and they're in one building, and the morgue is like, say, so far, not really far, but like, say they're like two or three buildings down, you would figure they're gonna call like an ambulance or some kind of vehicle to transport it. But especially if it's snowing, they can use these tunnels and just, bring them over there and not have to worry about snow and everything else. It'd be easy access just to go back and forth. Nowadays, I believe Pilgrim State, unless it's a office building area, it's closed down. So my friend Jerry and his girlfriend, they wanted to go and visit Pilgrim State. And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go there, because I've been there many times as a kid. We go there, and like, either because my mom worked those hours of like 3 o'clock to like 11:30 or 4 o'clock to 12:30, and then if she had to get mandated because somebody didn't come in, she had to work another 8 hours until going home like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. So my dad would go bring us, because you can't really leave the kids home by themselves. We would go with him. He has like food made up, and he'll bring it down there. We go in his little side alley, and there it is. But then you see these patients, and their arms are sticking out, going, and waving around and whatnot. And it's very daunting, just looking at it as a kid. But I never really got scared, because it was my mom and dad's work, so it wasn't anything that was bad. But anyway, so my friend Jerry and his girlfriend, they wanted to go and check it out. It's like, oh, maybe we can find ghosts. And you do the whole thing, like you watch Ghost Hunters, or you watch all this ghost apparition stuff or whatever, you know. And then you figure that you're going to be a ghost hunter. You get the phone and you're like, oh, psych. And then you see if you can get them caught on your recording. You record it. So I like playing jokes. So we get to the Mason shop area where my dad works in. And, you know, we get in the area and there's like this big ass window. And there was a guy, long beard, and he was walking across. And it's a real fucking guy, folks. Real guy. It's not even a ghost or whatever. So he's walking with his kids through the thing, and they always come around. And, you know, and then I was talking to them, but my friends didn't know about it. And then all of a sudden they're walking past. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a ghost. And what? He has a long beard. I'm like, I didn't have the heart to go and tell me it's a real fucking person. I'm like, let him have it. You know, but then when I go to this, like, the boiler area, you know, where they have the machines turned on, and my dad showed me, like, when I was younger, and I kind of remember it a little bit. So I go in there, and then all of a sudden, they're way off in the distance, and I'm like, you know, but they're, like, not too far off. They're to the part where they can hear me, and I can hear them. And, well, I was, like, looking, I'm like, okay. Yeah. Hey, what are you doing over there? All I heard was, and they start running. And I get out there and I start laughing my ass off. I'm like, you guys are so. And I love these guys. I love them, but because they just got scared. But it's a fun scare. But we have like good times. And if you guys are listening to this, I'm not making fun of you, but it's a good story to tell. And which this next one, well, we never really gone to Kings Park because I think Kings Park was closed up. But there is like certain people, I mean, certain kids probably that would find ways to get in there. And, you know, and folks, when you go into this and if kids are listening to this, don't go in buildings that are closed down. They're closed down for a reason because they don't want anybody getting hurt because there's nobody that's going to be in there. So if you're going to go in there and see if you're going to find ghosts, you know, or what have you, you know, if you're old enough, get permission to see if you can do investigations, if that. You know, because if you're going in there without anybody knowing, you're going to get hurt. They can't find you for days. And then they find you later on down there and you're gone and you're dead, you know, because you didn't eat nothing or, you know, whatever. You got sore and infected and, you know, rats are chewing on your intestines and whatnot. You know, just don't do it. Don't. I mean, yeah, it's fun, but it's not going to be fun when you're caught down there and nobody knows where you are. And especially the phone, if you got a phone, the cell reception is not going to help you. Because you're down below and it's going to cut off that reception. Take it from your squid here. It's a no. So yeah, because, you know, Kings Park is very, I would think it'd be haunted, but not like a haunted, like, oh my God, you know, something's going to die. There's a demon thing. No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more like, something dropping, something this, something that. So now we're going to get to the number one, Mount Misery and Sweet Hollow Road, Millville, Huntington. Various tales of horror and dread surround this winding incline from dense woods and up alongside a hilly precipice, some of which are detailed in Weird New York, your travel guide to New York's local legends and best kept secrets. Long Island's most haunted and ghost hunter's guide, among other books. One legend has it there was a hospital here that burnt down sometime during the 1700s and the 1800s with some patient and staff still trapped inside, only to be rebuilt on the same site to tragically burn down again. Another speaks of a deranged nurse who set the blaze and roams the woods with or without a number of faceless children. Some claim to have seen burning spirits fleeing from the grounds accompanied by screams. Now, I've heard this through some friends That there is, like, a nurse that either killed the kids, or the kids was coming out of the burning building, as it said, that the faces were off, and ran out of there. But then I think the nurse had taken the children, I think either killed them or whatnot, but then died as well. And it's in the same areas as this next one that I believe is coming up. Then there's the legend of the mass suicide, in which several teenagers hung themselves beneath the Northern State Parkway overpass. Ah, this is where we are. Visitors who honk their horns or flash their headlights 3 times can see their lifeless bodies. It goes. And that's kind of weird how they sentence that, but and it always seems like everything's in threes, because a friend of mine, Veronica, she's a medium. She's been on the podcast 2-3 times. If you haven't heard it, check out my thing. We talked about Poltergeist, the movie, and other different stuff. And she mentioned about there is one called knocking. So if it's two knocks you hear, then that's good. But if it's three knocks, then you get out of house because it's not good. Never heard of three knocks before. I heard two clappings, or actually two knocks, I think I heard, but then that was it. I think there was nothing really going on but that. The overpass, this is well, let me just finish the whole thing, and then I'll get into the story about it. There's the horns, a shadow figure and glowing ghost woman known as the Lady in White, which is not the one in Lake Ronkonkoma, I don't think. I don't think they're the same. Believed by some to be the depressed patient who set the hospital afire, which could be that could be it. And in doing so, killing herself, can also reportedly occasionally be seen. Some profess her to be Mary, killed by a car or murdered on a road, who haunts a nearby graveyard. Then there's, all right, I'm gonna stop there for a minute. So basically, we call it me and my friend Jerry and Edwin, we go and meet up at Dunkin' Donuts in Bay Shore. So this is where Jerry meets Evelyn at Dunkin' Donuts first time. So we go there. We all meet together, basically. And we go and we get our coffees, get a donut, get a sandwich, whatever. And we're just hanging outside. And if it's like cold, we sit in the car. If it's hot, we hang out. It's like a hangout spot. And we have a thing. So then we were talking about, again, they wanted to see like haunted stuff. And they were talking about said Mount Misery and Sweet Hollow Road, actually preferably Sweet Hollow Road. So we get into their car. I get into their car with them, and we go and we're driving. We get to this winding road. There's no lights whatsoever. It's just a winding dark ass fucking road, no lights, and I'm sitting in the back seat, they're in the front. Now, my friend Jerry, he's a huge Batman fanatic. Huge Batman. I mean, I'm nothing wrong about Batman, but he plays like Batman, like theme music. So he had the Batman theme music playing in the background. Hold on. I forget. I'm not even Batman. So we go and so we get into the car, we're driving, he plays his theme song, and it goes da, 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 da. Like super fucking loud. Like you can hear it throughout the thing. I think there's people that do live there, but on that street, but like I said, that thing is just all trees, that way. So they're like, we're driving and driving. His girlfriend goes like, Andre, up there 10, if you're gonna use your phone might go out because you're not gonna get no reception and all that. And I'm Okay, all right, whatever. And then so I go and turn around and I'm like, and scare the crap out of her. So she tried to scare me, but I got her back. So I scared the crap out of her. So there, ha. But so we're driving, we're going on this thing. So again, you have to hit the lights or you honk the horns, 3 times. Yeah. And then we did it 3 times, and apparently they seen something. I saw something, but I think because it's the lights that just flickered and it gives you that whole aspect on your optic of, retinas and all that, I guess. Yeah, I'm not a scientific person to be said, but that's what I'm thinking what it is. So that's basically what it was, and it's something to talk about. But there is, like, you see certain things around in woods, and we didn't stick around there because honestly, if you get stuck, and honestly, folks, this is like the worst case scenario. If you get stuck like a flat on this road, and there's no one around, you'll be shitting a brick. Literally, and myself, I would shit a brick. I like haunted. I like scary shit. Like movie shit and all that. But if I'm gonna be in the woods, and it's dark as hell, and this place is known for this haunted fucking shit, I'm gonna be scared shitless. I'm like, they say older people, they scare easily. I'm like, I wouldn't doubt it. If you smell something, that's me fucking running, and you smell something in somewhere. So let's go into the next one here, which is a very short one. Then there's the mysterious gypsy woman dressed in red who appears out of thin air, roaming the hills and trails. There's also a tale of a phantom police officer who is missing the back of his skull. A Suffolk County homicide detective tells the press the mutilated body of a child was discovered on Sweet Hill Road, 1976. It's some crazy. Long Island has some crazy stuff. This is not even going, not even hitting the tip of the iceberg, because there is like other shit. This is like supposedly the 13th, we call it creepiest ones, but you have to be there to see it. So, folks, if you do come out to Long Island to visit, and if you're one of those occult or those people that love to see or get scared easily and just want to go and find out shit, then go ahead, go check these places. But be forewarned, that you go into these places. Like this one with the long stretch, it's good. If you have a decent car, you can go up and down the thing, no problem. If you're gonna get a flat, if you know how to fix a flat, and if you don't think I'm trying to call him because I don't know if you're gonna have radio reception. But Kings Park, you don't explore it unless you have permission, or again, you're gonna get like either hurt down there, or you're not gonna be able to find your way out because these tunnels, there is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You're gonna get lost. You're gonna get fucking lost unless you know. Ooh, unless you know where you're going. Lake Ronkonkoma, if there is a thing with piranha in there, do not go in the water. If you ever seen the movie Piranha, it is nasty. But folks, I believe that's gonna be it for now. Again, if you're watching this video, give a like, subscribe, give a thumbs up. And write in the comments if you want to like listen to more stuff, or you want to see me talk about other stuff about Long Island or other places. Give me a state, I'll look it up, I'll check it out, this and that. For people that's listening, you can catch me. You can go to Linktree, basically, and so and people that's watching this on YouTube, you go to Linktree, linktr.ee/. Tattoo Squid. So that's TA2SQUID podcast, all one word. There's links for everything that is podcast that you can listen to. You can go to TikTok. You can go to oh, there's that one, there's always that one that I can't fucking remember. But and then you got TikTok, you got YouTube, Instagram, which is tattoosquid.podcast. TikTok, like I said, Snapchat, that's the one, Snapchat. And then you got Threads. I'm also on Threads as well. You check it out. Plus, if you want to get merch, now here's the thing. You want to get merch, go on there. It is Tattoo Squid Pod. So it's TattooSquidPod dot threadless.com. You're gonna check it out. You want to get shirts, this, that, whatever. Get your merch of anything from stickers to pins to acrylics to bath mats to bathtub shower areas. You just looking at skateboards, whatever. Like I said, shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops. Get as much stuff because your boy Squid and his girlfriend want to go to Scotland in like 2 or 3 years, and we want to get like some extra money, so you would help us out tremendously. If you don't want to get merch, and if you're on Twitter, if you're on Twitter, just go to my page. There's that little thing where there's a money insignia. That's for like tips. You want to put tips. Every little amount counts. So if you're gonna drop in $1, $2, that's fine. 50 cents, what have you. As whatever, because hopefully by within the 2 years it'll accumulate and we can use that money to have a great time in Scotland, and I could bring you back some more cool shit to talk about. Because I did go to Ireland and I did go to Italy, and there's a lot of cool shit on there, which I talked about once, but I'm gonna look up Ireland and Italy's horror stuff. Maybe that'll be next week's area. I was gonna do one by one of this, but it was like short little stories and kind of helps you out. So folks, have a great Sunday, have a great start of your week. Again, leave a message. If you like it, if you like the thing, if there's anything, something that you want done differently, or speak about differently, just let me know. And if you want to be a guest, just come on there, just message me, say, hey, how do I become a guest? I'll let you know. We'll work something out. Also, I'm trying to see if I can do another podcast, maybe with five other people. Or no, me and four people. But see how that goes. All right, folks, have a good day. And don't go in the basement of anything. You might trip. So, alrighty, that's it for me. I'm gonna have some dinner. I don't know what I'm having for dinner, but we'll see what happens. All right, folks. All right. So that's it. Adios.
Thank you for your patronage.
Goodbye, everyone. I remember you all in therapy.